Well, good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? I start off with that picture of we left off last time with Paul heading to Tarsus, and so I throw that boat picture up there. But let's start with open word prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Oh, and thank you, Lord, so much. It looks like it's a beautiful day out there. And thank you for this time we get to share in your word. And help me, Lord, to relay to the people the things you want them to hear. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, good morning. And today we're on Paul's, this would be part five. And we last left off, he was heading to Tarsus, which is his hometown. And, I did a little historical research and great resource. You're curious about the first century AD besides the Bible, which is a great resource. But another one that's used quite commonly is Josephus. He was a historian from the first century AD. And he wrote a lot about the Jewish people from then. So it's another resource for historical reasons, not for any kind of doctrine or anything, but. So according to him, and based on some other things, we figure that this is about 37 AD that Tarsus went back to, I mean that Paul went back to Tarsus, and that he was there quite a while before he actually started doing any more missionary work. We really don't know much about what he was doing in Tarsus during this period, and it wasn't until about 44 AD that he shows up again in the Bible. And again, that was all figured out based on some historical documents of that time and certain people that were in power during that time. So he was not sure what he was doing in Tarsus for those 7 years, but we're going to pick it up at the 7 year at 44 AD, or there approximately. And about this time, you may, if you want to reflect, you can look at Acts 11. I won't read it all, 1 through 17. It's about Peter, and it was that vision, if you remember in the past hearing about it, that he had where he went with Cornelius. And it was determined he was given the insight by God that Gentiles were not unclean in nature, and that he should accept them into the church also going forward. So it's about that period of time that we're talking about. And so and that's in Acts 11, 1 through 17, if you want to read it on your own. But at that point, the ministry shifted to the Gentiles, since there was quite a bit of persecution by the Jewish people in Jerusalem. So about the time of Stephen's stoning, a lot of the Christians that followed Christ were actually leaving Jerusalem because of the heavy persecution. And they are heading to all different kinds of places. And that's where we're going to pick up for today's lesson. A little background here. In Acts 11:17 is where I'm going to start today. It's just a little background. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Again, this is mostly Peter talking at this point. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose around Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And this is the theme of today, is it? They're still only preaching to the Jews, but that's going to shift. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians also. Grecians meaning Gentiles or non-Jews, basically, is what the word means. preaching the Lord Jesus. And in 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So at this point, the church in Jerusalem, we're going to get introduced again to this man named Barabbas, that you all remember from earlier. We'll do a little review on that. But then tidings of things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barabbas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. So this is the point where we're going to bring Paul back into the picture. It was Barabbas that had remembered back, if you remember back in chapter 9, and we'll just do a quick review here. Back in 9:15, this is the Lord speaking to Paul. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. Actually, no, this is to Barabbas. But the Lord is speaking, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And again, that this was the directive that Paul learned, that he was going to now become the basically the apostle or the missionary to the Gentiles mostly. He didn't forsake the Jews, but his main drive was us and the church. So it was about 11:22. I mean, in verse 11:22, we pick up Paul again. Let me get my verses up here. There it is. I mean, I'm sorry, 11:25. So at that point, Barabbas knew that Saul was in Tarsus, and so he departed from Antioch and. Then departed Barabbas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Bring back up the bigger picture. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And I saw an interesting video last night that explained where that word Christian actually came from. It was actually kind of interesting. I never heard it before. Basically that during that time frame, we're talking Antioch, which was still part of the Roman Empire. And to be considered somewhat legit, you had to be called, you had to have a name registered with the government, more or less. And that's where they came up. And it comes out of the word for Christos, or in other words, like followers of Christ. And so that's the name they picked for themselves. And it wasn't necessarily they were called that, but that's what they, at least that's what this person was saying. Haven't fully verified that, but it makes a little bit of sense. So the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, and it was because of the increasing size of the church in Antioch. Antioch became quite a center for the Christian movement. For the first century. So it was about 44 AD, and that's when this verse is. And until about 46 AD, they were preaching mostly in Antioch, Paul and Barabbas. They had become friends again, and from here on, they're going to stick pretty much together for the rest of their lives. From what I can gather so far, we'll be looking at that as we go along. But about 46 A.D., some people from Jerusalem had come up to Antioch to talk to the church there, because they found out how big it was getting. And so, in verse 27 of chapter 11, we see that and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth, which dearth is basically being famine, throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barabbas and Paul. So at some point, about 46 AD, according to Josephus, and that was the time frame of this famine, they sent Paul and Barabbas just down to Jerusalem to deliver these alms to the people to help out down in Jerusalem, which I think is great, because if you think about it, I checked it out from Jerusalem to Antioch is 300 miles, and there wasn't any kind of aircraft or any kind of air travel or anything like that back then, and cars or anything like that. So that was quite a little round trip effort to take that down there. I know that typically they say you can walk about 20 to 30 miles a day. So we're talking at least 10 days down and 10 days back minimum to bring that down there. So that's a little piece, and that's what that verse 30 kind of indicates. But it doesn't show that they stayed in Jerusalem. They went back to Antioch. And that's where we'll pick up tomorrow, when we see the missionary thrust into the Asia area begin to what they call the Great Commission. You know, the Lord said as he was leaving, the Great Commission was to take the word into all the world. Well, in that time frame, that meant pretty much all of Europe area. And so, and Antioch itself, because of its growing, not only just Jewish, but almost every nationality, tongue, tribe of the area used to be in Antioch. Antioch was a fairly large city at that time frame, and it was quite the trading center. I found a few photos that were kind of interesting. I thought I would show. Here is they call it Peter's Church. It's actually in Antioch. It's in a cave area. Some of what you're seeing here is actually built later on in like 200 AD or so, they figure. But it's actually a cave in behind here, and I have a picture of that also. Oh, and there's Antioch itself. Irish rendition of what it may have looked like in Paul's time. Pretty good sized city. Here's another view of that that they call Peter's Church. There's a road in that area. Again, like I was saying yesterday, it's nice to see that some of these things we see in the Bible are actually in existence, and some of them are still in existence today. And this is the inside, and as you can see, the kind of the rock walls. So they figure this back portion was probably the area that was in Peter and Paul's time. And because Christianity was still not well accepted, it was one of those things where they still had to kind of hide a little bit. And so this was in a rock and the mountains above Antioch, and they think this might have been the meeting place. And this last photo I got, they call this Paul's Well. It's a well that goes back to Paul's time. Funny to say, it still has water in it to this day. And at least according to some of the things I was reading, some people that traveled there in 2012, they were actually able to touch the water. They didn't actually drink it, but they said that they were allowed to see it and touch it. I guess there's some belief it has healing ability, which I wouldn't go that far, but so that's it for today, and I hope you enjoyed that. And again, that became the center of Paul's missionary work. So we'll be talking about Antioch quite a bit as we go forward. So let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the message you gave me today, and that I hope it helps someone out there, and that may everybody have a blessed day and be safe. And thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.